what we've been doing for the last week, because we are so happy. Turn to somebody and say, I am so happy. Glory to God. Amen. Happy about the things of God. Amen. Happy about what God's doing.
Thank you.
This is Shabbat, and we'll be here all day for one way or the other. Tim, you're going to need to put that back up there. I'm sorry, I didn't see you go there. We don't need it till the end of the message, but hallelujah. But we're here on Shabbat. We're here to celebrate. You don't have anything to do. You're not working on Shabbat, are you? Glory to God. So we've got a lot of time. After our service, when we have our meal, after our meal, we usually have Shabbat conversations. But today, instead of Shabbat conversations, we're going to come back in here, if you want to stay for this, and we're going to listen to Brother Keith, Pastor Keith Moore's message from Thursday night. And I'll tell you, his message Tuesday night was that this is happy time. Now this is interesting, because sometimes you think, well, what are we doing here? What's Pastor doing in our church? Here's a church way down in Branson, Missouri, and they're not really into their Jewish roots like we are, but they started around the season of Yom Kippur, although he didn't call it Yom Kippur. It was Days of Refreshing. And they talked about the fact of having to come to a point of accountability, and talked about Proverbs 29, that you can harden your heart to a point where nothing, there's no remedy. Bible very rarely says there's no remedy to something, but you can get so hard, there's no remedy. And so Brother Keith was addressing that down in Branson and out at Eagle Mountain Church, while we were addressing that here in the time from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And then when we entered the celebration of Tabernacles, of Sukkoth, here we are, and all I knew was before that there was going to be something on the other side. Remember, the Lord kept saying, there's something on the other side. If you do Yom Kippur right, then you'll know what celebration is. If you don't do Yom Kippur right, if you don't come clean with God, if you don't repent, if you don't turn your back on those things, then there's no celebration to life. Amen? And so I didn't know it was on the other side of that, but we've just had 7 nights in that sukkah that have been unlike any other 7 nights we've had. You know, my goodness, you have an hour service and then you take the chairs out and dance for 2 hours. I mean, craziness. And we did all that because we are so happy. and some of you found out that I don't really feel happy, but say it anyway. Because if you say it, you'll wake your body up. Amen. It's not a feeling. I don't say it because I feel happy. I say it because it's a truth. And we're going to find more about that today. So then, anyway, Tuesday night, I talked about happy and about how that's the hallmark of a Christian. That's a hallmark of a believer. You got to be happy. If you're happy, notify your face. Turn to someone and say that. If you're happy, notify your face. Come on. Then Thursday night, well, some of you will be amazed. If you're there Thursday night when you listen to Brother Keith's message, I mean, he used exact, it's supernatural. He used exact scriptures we were using here, and including they ended up singing a song that I sang at the end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. They started singing the song. It's like, the Lord is up to something. Amen? The Lord is up to something. My goodness. In Psalm 119, verse 14, it says this, I rejoice, say rejoice. I rejoice in following your statutes as one who rejoices in great riches. Now, you know I've used that illustration when people say, well, that's not my temperament, Pastor. I get in church, that's not my temperament, I'm a very quiet person. No, you're not. That's not true. I see you at a ball game. You know, the Red Sox get a home run. Yeah! You know, the Pats get a touchdown. Ah! You know, you jump over your couch, you do all this, and then you'll say to me, well, I'm not that kind of person. No, no, no. You're not that kind of person in church only because someone taught you that that's what, you know, church was supposed to be solemn. And, you know, how'd you like to be God and have a bunch of sober-minded people around you all the time? I mean, it's got to get boring, you know? I mean, it's like, where are the joyful people of God? And David, who was the worship leader for Israel, David writes over and over and over again that we've got to bless the Lord, we've got to rejoice. And in Psalm 119, I've got the whole thing printed out here. I think one day I'm just going to come and read it. But I rejoice in following your word, your laws, your ordinances, your commandments. I rejoice in following them as one rejoices in great riches. And I always use that as an example of how I know your emotions can change. Because I don't care how tired you are at the end of the day. I don't care how worn out you are. I don't care how discouraged you are, how down in the dumps you are, where you just shut your front door and say, I've had it. I'm going to go to bed. I've just had it. I have no energy left. I'm wiped out. If Ed McMahon knocks on your door and says, I've got a check for $10 million here, I guarantee you, you'll wake up. I guarantee you that the tiredness will leave you. And my question is, where did it go? Where did the tiredness in the body suddenly go? See, it left because your mind made a decision. You heard some good news. And the good news was so exciting to you that the good news literally overrode the feelings of your flesh. Always will. It depends upon what you and I choose to focus on. Amen? And this is a holiday. This is a celebration when we choose to focus on some really good news. Amen? Some really good news that God loved us so much that he didn't leave us to our own imaginations, but he spoke through prophets of old, and he spoke his will and his word. Amen? Good news that he came down and said, this is the way to walk. In fact, he says, I'm putting in front of you a way of life and a way of death. Choose life. He doesn't even say, it's here, what do you want to do with it? I don't care. He says, I care. I want you to choose life. I want you to choose a life of obedience to my word, because if you'll obey the word, you'll be free. But if you think you're free by not obeying it, you're going to find up you're bound. Amen? And so we need to rejoice in the Torah today, to rejoice in your Bible. Everybody got a Bible there? Later on, we're going to do something with the Bible. We might even dance to the Bible. If you don't have one, I've got some extra ones up here. But we don't use the Torah scroll, so we're not going to put them and dance around with them, but I'm going to dance with my Bible. You know, my Bible is useful to me. Amen? As a matter of fact, if your Bible's worn out, you won't be. That's right. If your Bible's falling apart from use, then your life won't be falling apart. But if your Bible's clean and just sits on a shelf and you honor it like some kind of religious relic, I'll guarantee your life's falling apart. Amen? See, the scriptures are to be used. These are to be studied and digested. There's a guide to life in here. This is the most contemporary book you have. It doesn't change because it's God's word. It always applies to every situation. And whenever we think we can put distance between us and the word of God, then what we do is our life starts to get messed up. Amen? Back in Psalm 103, and I shared this, I think, our last night in the Sukkah, Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5, David says to his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget the benefits of God. See, he's commanding his soul. He's slapping himself in the face. Hey, wake up. Don't forget that there are benefits. Say benefits. There are benefits to being a follower of God. Amen? I'm not getting older. I'm getting younger every day. My brother and sister told me I had to get serious about the Bible. I was 15 at the time, and they were telling me that, you know, you got to give your life to God, you got to follow him. And I remember very clearly, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the Army War College base there where my dad was stationed, standing in the kitchen, looking at my brother in the eyes, and these words came out of my mouth. I want to have my fun first, then I'll get serious about God. You see, because that was my image. I went to church, but boy, it wasn't fun. I went to church and people frowned and they looked, you know, I mean, it's like there was no joy in their life. And as a teenager, I thought I had great joy in my life. And so my image was, well, I'm going to have all my fun, do what I want, dance, drink, smoke, do whatever you want to do, have all my fun in life. And then, you know, when I get older, you know, when I get really old, like 30, you know, I'll get serious with God. You know, boy, was I misinformed, because I found out that at the age of 16, that I surrendered my life to God. I said, I'm going to do it your way from now on. I looked at that way of life and way of death, and I thought, I'm on the wrong road. That was a shocking experience. I'm going to church. I was, what did they call them? I think they called them acolytes at that time. I even had the little candle lighter and lit all the candles. And I mean, we had a pretty liturgical chapel in that army place there. You know, and I was president of the youth group, you know. But I was on the wrong road. And I remember sitting there when that evangelist was talking, and there's a road of life and a road of death, and I was shocked. I found out I was on the wrong. I was going to hell good. That's pretty bad. You know, I found out that the standard of life that by which we're judged is God's word, not by my friends. Because I could always find friends who were worse than I, so I thought I was better. You know, and that night I found out there's a way of life and a way of death. And I had chosen the way of death. And that I had an incurable disease that I was born with that every human has. And the consequences of that was death. It was a heart condition, you're right. It was a heart condition. But there was some good news, and the good news was that God had a way to get my life on the right track. So that night in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, I said, okay, I'm going to do it God's way. And you know what? I was right. God told me I had to give up everything I thought I was going to have to give up. All those things I was concerned, oh, I can't this. You know, he was right. But everything he told me to give up was killing me. You know, I wanted to be free to smoke, but you know, tobacco will kill you. Excuse me. You know, I want to be free to do my own thing. I found out my own choices, even to this day, my own choices will get me in trouble. And I found out that if I went in God's way, there was life. I began to have more joy in me than I ever thought imaginable. And it doesn't stop. Every step along the way, God doesn't give up. Amen. I mean, 6 weeks ago, I went away and found another level of God. He invaded my life, rescued me from the pit. Glory to God. Brought back some joy in my life. And I am so happy. You know, and somebody, you know, sometimes people say, well, you're just crazy. Well, don't bother me. I'm having fun, you know. So, I mean, if you want to be your stuck-in-the-mud person, you just go ahead and do that. You know, well, I think it's all an illusion. Well, it's a really great illusion. I'm enjoying life. I've got a great future ahead of me. You know, don't disturb me. Amen. Glory to God. See, I rejoice in your word. I rejoice in your statutes. I rejoice. I rejoice in being obedient. I rejoice in that. Now, see, I say that of myself even when I'm not. Come on. I start reading Psalm 119 and say, that's who I am. I delight in your word. I you know, can we not dance to his word? Can we not celebrate his word? Can we not be the feet, as the rabbi said, the feet to Torah? Can we be the feet? And if you're the feet to it, what are you wearing? What's your expression? You know, do people look at you and say, I want what you have? Or do they say, my God, I don't want what you have? It looks like a fatal disease. You know, you too can be like me. You know, if you would get serious about God, you'll be like me. No. I think that's why I have an affinity for the Hasidic Jewish people. That's why Rabbi Reuben is so, you know, they, you know, even Zeb Bird, by the way, he's got a thing on YouTube now. I'll send you the link to it. You're talking about their new food distribution center in Tiberias, to which I think we just sent him $600 for Yom Kippur offering for their food bank there. But, I mean, he's as skinny as a rail. What's he look like? He looks like one of those wood carvings. Doesn't he? He looks like one of those Christmas wood carvings or something like that, tall, skinny guy and everything like that. But, you know, but there's life. They enjoy life. They can dance like anyone can dance. I mean, and their life is full of purpose and meaning. And we need to come to that. Amen? So the question is, well, then what do we rejoice in? If nothing else, there's benefits. Say benefits. Benefits. I'm not going to preach all that again. I just want to go over them. He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pits. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. And our youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are the benefits. That's the benefit package. You may have benefits where you work. I got benefits from God's word. Amen? The benefit isn't that I get to go to Club Med. Amen? I've got a club that's better than Club Med. Amen. Glory to God. I've got forgiveness. You know, if you've got forgiveness, that'll set you free of depression. Amen. That's a benefit. You ought to get it. This is a book that tells you how you can walk in forgiveness. You won't have mental problems. You won't have depression. You won't have discouragement if you know how to get beyond sin. Amen. So most people aren't. It's not that they're not living up to God's standard. They're not even living up to their own standard. They're not even doing the good things you know you ought to do. How do you get out of that? Rabbi Shaul said, you know, gee, the good I want to do, I don't do. The things I detest doing, I find myself doing. And he comes to that phrase where he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Here's a rabbi of the rabbis, tribe of Benjamin, a man who wrote most of the New Testament letters. You know, one of the studied under the feet of Gamaliel. And he says, you know, I look at all this and everything, and I can't even make myself do what I need to do, and I'm doing things I shouldn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. See, that's what religion will leave you with. But then he says, thanks be to God, there's now no condemnation for those of us in Yeshua. No condemnation. Why? Because this reveals an Abba who forgives us, an Abba who has a provision for us. Amen. Glory to God. You ought to be able to rejoice in the Word just for that. He heals all our diseases. Come on. We're in the midst of finding how that works. I'm not going to say it doesn't work because there's sick people. Excuse me? I'm not going to say, well, so-and-so believed and they died, but so I guess God's Word isn't right. Excuse me? Who are they compared to God? Amen? Glory to God. We got too much evidence, but I don't need the evidence. I need the Word. But then we start saying, well, God, how do I apply that word? And Yeshua, like all the rabbis of his time, said it was faith. That was not an invention of Yeshua. Faith wasn't an idea he came up with. Come on, all the rabbis taught that. If you believe, these things work. If you believe. And so at 4 years old, you know, when Ashley was diagnosed with leukemia, and they said, you know, that she has very little chance that she's going to live. Come on. And in fact, they put her in an experimental protocol down at UMass with 13 other children, and they're all dead, as they predicted. They all died within a year, but she lived. Why? Why? Because God said to Donna, the Holy Spirit said to her when that news came to her, the very next words out of your mouth will determine the future. In other words, Donna, you're going to open your mouth. You're either going to repeat what the doctor said or you're going to say what the Word says. And she said, I'm going to say what the Bible says. My daughter will live and not die. See, there's a verse in the Bible that says, I will live and not die. That's what she said. When people called and said, how are things going? She said, Ashley is well. Why? Because I'm saying what the Bible says, not what the body's saying. Come on. Huh? And some 30 years later, hello. Amen. And have there been challenges along the way? I mean, the devil's tried to kill her two or three times. And every time it's the same report. You know, 2 years ago, that was the report. She's in a coma. She's never going to come out. You know, it's like, you know, have you signed this away? Have you done this away? They finally get her out of that place and get her into a rehab hospital. And they're thinking, well, you're going to be here for a few weeks. You're going to put you in a nursing home the rest of your life. What's your goal? And Donna says she's going to walk out of here. And they look at her like, you know, lady, they do. They looked at her like, and they told us afterwards, we thought maybe we need the psychiatrist. They're always trying to send the psychiatrist to Donna. And what I tell them is the psychiatrist won't learn from Donna. They need to. Amen. But she walked out. Why? Because it says right here, that's a benefit. He heals all our diseases. We need to find out how to act that benefit out. This was an instruction book on how to get your benefits. Amen. He redeems your life from the pits. You ever been in the pits? Where's your favorite verses to get you out of the pits? I got mine. Glory to God. We're going to go over some of them today. He crowns us with love and compassion. That's a crown you wear. I walk through life and I can hold my head high. Why? Because I'm not moved by my circumstances, my failures. I'm moved by the fact that I have a crown of love on my head. God so loved you that he gave to you. Amen. He satisfies our desires with good things. God is a good God. Can you say amen? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Get out of accusing God of bringing harm. That's not biblical. That's not New Testament. It's not Old Testament. It's not Tanakh. It's not Torah. It's not the apostolic scriptures. It's pure religious garbage. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. That's God's word. Everything else is man's opinion. Amen? And so he crowns us with that. He brings us good things. Say good things. You got good things just by the fact that you're here. Amen? This building is a good thing that was given to us. Glory to God. And then our youth is renewed like the eagles. How are you doing? Say, how are you doing? Come on. I think that's true. You know, sometimes I'm going to get some of us who are on the other side of 60. Ann, you're up for this. Ann and I are going to have a race with some of you guys and just show you up. Amen? Hey, amen. We're going to win. I mean, come on. Ann goes up and down the ski slope. She gets in a kayak up in Alaska, kayaking out in the ocean. You know, it's like she walks across an ice glacier up there. I mean, it's like, excuse me. You know, we jump on a plane and we go to Haiti with no fear. We go off to Israel. We're down in Gaza. We go to Hebron. You know what's happening? The Lord is renewing our youth like the eagles. Amen. Glory to God. The more words you know, the more life comes. That's a direct connection. Glory to God. Amen. So we're here today to celebrate the Word of God, the Bible. Can you rejoice in this? Can you rejoice? Is there anything in here that inspires you? Anything? Let me just give you a list. I'm not going to preach today. I already have started, but I'm not going to preach today. I'm just going to read some scriptures. You know why? I just went through and said, what do I rejoice in? See, my Bible's underlined. I know that shocks some people, but you know, it's like, I don't want to be at a moment when all of a sudden, you know, I think, oh, God, I need an answer from you. And last week, you gave me a great answer, and I don't remember where it is. So I underlined in my Bible, and you do too. I remember when you didn't. I remember when you thought that was pretty bad to underline. And look at your Bible now. I mean, you got different colors, you got notes written in it. And so sometimes I'll say, God, I need help. Where was that? It was somewhere. I think it was in Isaiah, but I remember I circled it in red. And I go looking for the red thing. There it is. That's a verse. It gives me life. Amen. Why? This has got to be a useful thing to me. So I simply went through one of my Bibles. I got many of them, and they have different things underlined. But I just went through one and began to pick out some things as to why I rejoice in the Scriptures. Why I rejoice in the Scriptures. Paul in the book of Ephesians, and there's no verse. I'm not going to give you verses, so you just kind of listen to these. Listen to these 10 things that he says in Ephesians. God the Father of our Lord Yeshua has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Excuse me. He's already blessed me with everything. I could just camp out on that one verse and put the music on and dance to that. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. I'm not an accident. You're not an accident. Walking around and God says, how'd you show up? But the Scripture says that He chose you before the world was even created. He predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters. You're part of a plan. You're not an accident. Even if you were a surprise to your mom and dad, you're not an accident to God. In Yeshua, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I've been redeemed. Glory to God. We were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You got a mark on you. You've been marked by the Word of God. You've been marked by the Holy Spirit. Even the demons know who you are. Listen to this one. Because of His great love for us, God made us alive with Yeshua. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace we've been saved. I didn't need to earn it. God gave it because He loved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's His mercy and His grace. Amen. Listen to this one. Ooh, in Yeshua, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but we are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Mm-mm. We were once, the Bible says, nobody's going nowhere. We had no covenant. We were Gentiles without a covenant. And now, in Yeshua, we've been grafted into His covenant people. I got a family. I got a place. That's why when we go to Israel, it gets in your heart. That's why I finally have a home, and it is in Fitchburg. Amen. Glory to God. Listen to this one. It says here in Ephesians, we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You got to have courage to believe the Bible. You do. You have to have courage to believe. You don't say, well, here's what I think. I wonder what the Bible says. No. I have no thoughts, God. Let me think your thoughts. Oh, they're hard thoughts to think. Because you say that I can be filled to the complete measure of the fullness of God. All of God can dwell inside of you. My. And you think you have a problem with your boss? Excuse me. The tenth thing that I always go to this one in Ephesians, if I need to know why to get excited about the Scriptures, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power working within us. God is able to do immeasurably beyond what you can ask or even think. I ask God big, I can think bigger than I dare ask, and He says, son, I'm ready to do more than you can even imagine. Glory to God. I don't care the pit you're in right now. I don't care how deep the hole is you've dug. I don't care how much you've painted yourself into a corner. God is able in 1 second to put you supernaturally in a place where that's all past. Not the memory of it's past, the habit of it is past, it's all gone. He can pick you up and put you over and erase 15 years of walking in the wrong path in 1 minute. He can get alcohol out of your system overnight. You don't need to get detoxed. He can get drugs out of you by deliverance. And he can get sin out of you instantly. Glory to God. He's able to do immeasurably more than you can think or ask. Shh. I've already got myself happy and I've got some more to go. That's just Paul in Ephesians, and that's just 10 things in Ephesians. Here's 3 things in Philippians. Rabbi Shaul says this, he who began a good work in us will carry it to completion. Oh, glory to God. He began it, he'll finish it. You're here because he began something in you. He's going to finish what he began. Ah, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. What's the finisher? The finisher is the one that after the rough carpenters put it all in, the finisher comes in and makes it look really pretty.
Yeah.
You're about to have your life made real pretty.
Yeah.
I am so happy. Listen to this, Philippians, still, God works in us to will and to act according to his purpose. God is even working to help you to will to do it. He's so much in favor of your success, he tells you what you need to do, he tells you how to do it, he gives you the tools for doing it, and then just in case you aren't willing to do it, he gets in and works on your will. Oh my goodness, listen to this one. We can do all things through Yeshua who gives us strength. You can do all things. Well now, Pastor, do you really mean all things? No, God does. God means it. There's been many times in my life when I didn't mean all things because, oh, I can't do that. God says that all things are possible. All things are possible. Come on. Well, do you think you could walk on water? Peter did. Oh, no, he sank. No, he walked before he sank. Amen. And come on, congregation, we know enough about quantum physics now, and we know enough that science already establishes that at the subatomic level, atoms respond to what you believe.
That's right.
That's an established fact of quantum physics now. Atoms will respond according to how you believe, and here's the question, how do they know what you believe? I'd love to preach that one again. I've got to get back to that one. Galatians, listen to these 6 things from Galatians. If we belong to Yeshua, then we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. What's an heir? You got an inheritance. Wouldn't you like to know what's in the inheritance?
Yeah.
Somebody walks in and says, we just found out you're an heir of somebody. I want to know who the somebody is, and then I want to know what's in it. You've inherited their pig farm. No, thank you. No, you've inherited, $10 million. What's the next question? I'm not going to run around life saying, you know what? I inherited $10 million and I'm still driving an old car. No, what's my next question when I find out? How do I get what I inherited? How do I get it? From the realm where it's kept in that will into mine. That's exactly what the scriptures are. If we belong to Yeshua, then we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Number 2, Galatians. Because we are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, a spirit that can call out, Abba. Oh, Christians don't like that. Abba, Abba, Abba. Well, they don't mind if we call it Abba. Let's put it in English, Daddy. Oh, that sounds, He's God. He says, I'm Abba. I'm Abba. Thrilled me the first time I was in Jerusalem, sitting there in the cardo, and this little boy is running, and his parents have gone ahead of him, and he's got to be, maybe 3 years old, maybe 2 years old, and he's running, Abba, Abba, Abba. And I went, oh, that's how we are to be with our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Amen? That's not a Jesus concept. That's a Jewish concept. The rabbis all taught that God was our Father. Avinu Hashemayim. Our Father in heaven was not something that Yeshua invented as some kind of Christian prayer. Huh? We've got to get into that relationship with him. We can call him now Abba. We couldn't call him that before. Number 3, since we are sons, God made us heirs. I already talked about that. Number 4, it was for freedom that Christ made us free. Yeshua said, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Number 5, if we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Anybody want not to gratify the sinful nature? Then live by the Spirit. And then this one, at the proper time, say proper time. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Glory to God. When's the proper time? When you need it. When you need it. Amen. Harvest time is coming for everything that we've sowed. Come on. Glory to God. That's just in Galatians. I only picked one out of Colossians. Paul says this in Colossians. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Every time I read that, I am so excited. Oh, I was once in a kingdom called darkness. Huh? And the Lord of that kingdom was dictating my life, pulling the strings, directing me as whenever he wills, Paul will later say. But guess what? I've been delivered from that. And I've been transferred. I grew up in the military. We were always getting transfers. My dad would come home and say, we've been transferred. My first question was, where to? Amen? Where to? Well, I was over here in darkness, and the Bible says I got transferred into the kingdom of his dear son, later called the kingdom of light. Now, come on, church. We've been talking about the kingdom of God is here and now. There's another dimension. Yeshua said it's right here. You can't see it. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, but it's just as real. And all the things that he did because he had access to that kingdom. And that's why he said, you'll do them too if you simply learn to stand in this kingdom.
Right.
Guess what? That's where you are. Mm-mm-mm-mm. My. Look, then I turned to the gospel and the letters of John. I like John because he was so close to Yeshua. Listen to this. I pulled a bunch of things off of that. Things to excite. To all of us who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave it to you. Boom. You've got it. Number two, God so loved us that he gave his one and only son to die for us so that by believing in his name, we might not face eternal punishment but have eternal life. You can just fly high celebrating and dancing with the scriptures if all you have is one verse. God loves me. Huh? Great theologian years ago, Protestant theologian Karl Barth was asked by a newspaper man, if you could reduce all of your theology to one little sentence, what would it be? He says, that's easy. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Isn't that amazing? In other words, one verse, this is a book of love. This is God's love letter to us. This is God's way. Say, I created you. I love you. If you'll do it my way, if you'll get on board my way, I'm just going to pour out all that a father wants to on his children. Can you say amen? Listen to this. John wrote this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and do what? And do what? See, don't just stop there. And purify, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. You're unto Abba and say, Abba, I've sinned. I failed to do what I should have, or I did something I should have, and I confess it. I call it what it is. I didn't just miss the mark. I sinned. It is this. And I name it. And he says, son, while you took that sin is confessed, I'm going to take advantage of the time. Now that you're here, I'm going to clean up the whole mess. Abba, my hands are dirty. Well, great, I'm going to wash them, but I'm going to wash all of you. That's what it says there. Oh, that is good news. Cleanses you of all unrighteousness. My. Listen to this. You know who said this one. Satan the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeshua has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. Come on. That's good news. You won't find that in church, but you'll find it in here. Abundant life. Life overflowing. Life that you can't contain. Why are you excited? I can't stop. Once the flow gets going, it keeps on going. Why? It's exciting. Amen. I watch Donna and Jordan. Sometimes they got Brother Keith Moore on or somebody else, and they end up dancing around the house. I'm in there, and all of a sudden I hear Jordan in the bathroom. Oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. Did you hear what he said? I mean, it's like a holiday all the time going on in our house. Absolutely amazing. Why? She can't contain it. That's the life of God in there. Listen to this. In your Father's house, Yeshua is preparing a place for you, and he'll come and get you so you can be in that place. Excuse me. Well, Pastor, I don't like where I'm living now. You're not going to live here forever. Oh, you know what? They had their house repossessed. You can't repossess my heavenly one. Come on. I've been down that road. I lost a house years ago, lost my cars. Guess what? They didn't get me. I'm here. Same God who got me that could get me another one. But see, my eyes aren't on that. Excuse me. Glory to God. My. The works that Yeshua did, we can do, and even greater works. Yeshua sent us His Spirit to teach us all things. Yeshua loves us just as the Father loved Him. Yeshua does not call us servants, but friends. Yeshua will never leave us nor forsake us. We are strong, and the Word of God lives in us. These are all quotes out of John's letters. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. We have this confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. The one who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world. And this is a testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. If we have the Son, we have Zoe life. The evil one cannot harm us. Excuse me. Those are good words to get ready for battle. Next week, remember, wear your camouflage stuff. I won't get there yet. Listen to this. Peter. Anybody hear of Peter? See, I can look at the letters of Peter, two of them, and I can just find verses in there that make me want to rejoice in the Scripture. Number one, we have received a faith as precious as the apostles. One of the translations, just like theirs. The faith you have is the same faith Peter had. It's not a lesser faith, a little faith. Amen? We have the same faith. My goodness. Listen to this one. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Yeshua. We've been chosen. God chose you. God chose you. Oh, I remember in school, you know, we're picking teams and you're sitting there and they, you know, there's a very athletic guys and I wasn't very athletic, and so I'll take you and I'll take you, and you wonder, gee, am I going to be the last guy picked? You know? But the Bible says He chose you. He chose you. You're chosen. You're chosen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope, not a dead hope. How about this one? By His wounds, we've been healed. That's a good one. How about this one? We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. How about this one? Through faith, we're shielded by God's power. Shields up. How about this one? Paul said the same thing. Peter says it. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Can you get excited about that? If you can't, you're dead. Wake up. How about this one? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. My. Oh, how about this one? Oh, you have to have courage to believe this one. Peter says He has given us, God has given us, His very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature. We may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You can participate in the very life of God. Come on, we got to get out of this thing. We're just little people. We have such needs. Donald taught us well. You know, we see ourselves coming to Jesus like the woman who was coming to touch the hem of His garment. Oh, I've just got needs. If I can only touch You. We're to be the ones who wear the robe. The world should be coming to us and say, can I touch You? Come on. Peter, on that day, there's a blind man, the lame man there, and he's begging. And Peter says, I don't have silver and gold with me. My wallet's at home. But what I have. See, today we say, well, can we pray for you, lame man? Can we gather around you? You know, God can help you. You know, Jesus can help you. The early apostles knew what was in them. What I have, I can give you in the name of Yeshua. Come on, we bring our children up here and bless them. Amen. We bless them. That's what the Bible says. You bless them. Don't ask God to bless them. You bless them. You're to be a dispenser of blessings. You're to be a participant in the divine nature. Think about it. God's got His people all over the world who are little agents of His nature. My. Listen to this one. If we do all these things in the Word, we will never fall. I like that. Here's one that always gets me excited. We will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. We will receive a rich welcome. Glory to God. Donna gave me that thing for my birthday that said, God danced the day you were born. But that offended some religious people. But I'm a daddy. I know what that's like to dance when your child is born. Amen. I know what that's like. Huh? Yeshua said, which of you is an earthly dad? If your son wants, you know, something to eat, you're going to give him a snake instead of fish. How much more does your heavenly Father desire to give good things to those who ask him? Come on. Amen. I don't put cancer on my kids. I don't do things. I want to give good things. I'm looking for them to be what? Open to receive. Amen. And so I can dance. I can dance. Glory to God. I can dance over his word. Listen to this one in Mark. Talk about something to get you excited. If we speak to the mountains in our life and do not doubt, then we will have what we say. Come on. The world didn't give me that. God's word gave that. I rejoice in Torah. I rejoice in your word. Amen? Jeremiah 29. Do I need to tell you that one? God has a plan for my life. Plan to prosper me and not to harm me. Say that with me. God has a plan for my life. Plans to prosper me and not to harm me. Steve, would you get that overhead up there? Tim, you want to get that going there? Listen to this one. This Anne Marie gave me this today. This is one of her little promises she reads. I read it and said, yes. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt will be with you. When you're about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, hear, O Israel! Today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My goodness, we got to get excited about these things. You still with me? Are you still with me? We getting something up there? Good. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Let's recite some scriptures together like we mean it. We're going to rejoice because of what God's word says. Well, at least I am. Go ahead, Steve. This is from the Message Bible. Let's say it together. If I listen obediently to the voice of God, my God, and heartily obey all his commandments that he commands me, then God, my God, will place me on high, high above all the nations of the world. All these blessings will come down on me and spread out beyond me because I've responded to the voice of God, my God. God's blessings inside the city, God's blessing in the country, God's blessing on my children, the crops of my land, the young of my livestock, the calves of my herds, the lambs of my flocks, God's blessing on my basket and bread bowl, God's blessing on my coming in and my going out. God will defeat my enemies who attack me. They'll come at me on one road and run away on seven roads. God will order a blessing on my barns and workplaces. He'll bless me in the land that God, my God, is giving me. All the peoples on earth will see that I am living under the name of God and hold me in respectful awe. God will lavish me with good things and will throw open the doors of his sky vaults and pour rain on my land on schedule and bless the work I take in hand. I will lend to many nations, but I myself won't have to take out a loan. God will make me the head, not the tail. I'll always be the top dog, never the bottom dog. as I obediently listen and diligently keep the commands of God, my God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's do another one. Steve, this one is Yahweh's protection.
Yes.
Amen? Let's get excited about what God's Word says to you. These are words. Come on, go ahead. I dwell in the shelter of the Most High and say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and rampart. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. Because I make the Most High my dwelling, no harm will befall me, and no disaster will come near my tent. Yahweh will command His angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because I love the Lord, He will rescue me, He will protect me, for I acknowledge His name. I will call upon Him, and He will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. With long life, He will satisfy me and show me His salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. My, my, my. See, that's the word. That's a word. Can you not get excited about it? With long life, He will satisfy me. With long life. Not long life, I'll suffer, get old, wear down, and die. With long life, I'll be satisfied. Amen? That's the word of God. Can you not get excited about it? Let's look at the next one. I delight in Your word. Go ahead with it. I delight in Your decrees. I will not neglect Your word. Your commands are my delight. They are my counselors. My delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law I meditate day and night. I am like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever I do will prosper.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
All right, let's look at this next one. Because of Your word, go ahead, what happens?
I am so happy!
Amen. Turn your receiver on. And now may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. May the Lord watch over all your days, your coming forth and coming in. May the Lord cause you to be the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. May the Lord bring you days of prosperity, days of health, days of great glory in this earth. May the Lord cause you to ride upon the high places, so that you are a spokesman for the Most High God. May you go forth with the anointing and the power as a son and daughter of the Most High God.
Yes.
May you go forth and see your victory in the name of our God. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. The Bible says. All right, if everybody's got a Bible, put it in your hand. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, raise your hand and Tim will pass out a copy to you. Go ahead, just walk back. Doesn't make a difference what kind it is. Get those passed out. We're coming up at the end of our service. We got to rejoice. What do we do? We dance. Come on, we dance. Turn to somebody and say, are we really going to dance? Well, that's up to you. You can parade. You can stand there if you want, but we're all going to... We're just going to dance to some great Hasidic music. And as we dance, we're going to say, God, I thank You for this word. I thank You for this word. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your word. Amen. It's a good word. Amen. Glory to God. Anyone else need one? Up front needs one? Steve, go ahead and put that Hasidic music on. Glory to God. Anybody want to follow me?
Oh, glory! Shalom Asirai, Zion, 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 Halot Ishali, Halot Ishali, Lishlom Asirai. Ay, 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 Zion, ay, 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 Zion, Halot Ishali, Lishlom Asirai.
Shout to the Lord. Give a shout to the Lord. Say this with me. Thank you for Torah. Thank you for Torah.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word. It is a light to my path.
I rejoice
in your word. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 And we say together, we are so happy. Glory. Well, how many of you believe that when a blessing is given, it's given? So how many of you know that in order to receive a blessing, you got to turn your receiver on?